Next case for argument, United States v. Rodriguez. Mr. Goins.
Good morning. It pleases the court. I'm Albert Goins. I represent the appellant defendant, Jesse Mateo Rodriguez. The primary issue in this appeal is with respect to sentencing based on a conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine case. In this case, Chief Judge Crabb of the Western District, after a determination by the defendant that he would not demand an evidentiary hearing, determined based on solely on the PSR facts that the defendant both was in possession of a dangerous weapon, and specifically a firearm, and also that the defendant was a manager supervisor with respect to the conspiracy, and also found with respect to drug quantities that the defendant had distributed some 13.2 kilograms of methamphetamine. Our primary contention here is that Chief Judge Crabb failed to make any specific findings as required under the guidelines to determine which quantities of drugs Mr. Rodriguez was actually involved in with respect to the conspiracy. As the government has already pointed out in its brief, and as it's clear to the court, Mr. Rodriguez did not demand a hearing, in our view, with respect to the evidentiary hearing, because that forced him to abandon, essentially, acceptance of responsibility. He was caught between the soul and cherubdus of wanting to receive the three-level reduction. He had already entered a plea, which was very open-ended, and as a result, he would have risked losing acceptance of responsibility had he gone forward with the hearing.
Didn't he enter a written agreement?
There was a written...
That he possessed 500 grams or more of methamphetamines?
He did enter into a written agreement of 500 grams or more, but that's a wholly open-ended agreement, plea agreement, in which Mr. Rodriguez had no idea, once he entered into that agreement, what probation services would determine was the appropriate drug quantity level. As the court knows, that drug quantity level is going to determine what the base offense level in the case is. Mr. Rodriguez had no idea what that was going to be until after he'd entered the plea. As I say, he risked the loss of acceptance of responsibility. Once the PSR was received, rather than go through a hearing, Mr. Rodriguez, at least on two issues, argued that there were legal issues that were before Judge Crabb to show that there was insufficient facts for the judge to determine, one, that he had the handgun, and two, that he was a manager.
How are insufficient facts a legal issue?
Well, in our view, the court has to make a determination under the guidelines, specifically and especially in the post-Booker environment, has to make specific findings as to any of the enhancements.
But you've got a waiver problem here because you had the opportunity to challenge, and because of the strategic decision not to risk losing acceptance of responsibility, specifically chose not to challenge the facts in the PSR on these points, and you were given repeated opportunities to change your mind and make a challenge, and the hearing was adjourned, I think, several times, if I'm not mistaken. And then when it finally went forward, there was an affirmative agreement that the judge could use the facts in the PSR and accept them as true. So you've got not just a forfeiture problem here, you've got a waiver problem.
Well, it was a specific, and I wouldn't say it was an agreement. I think what we determined was, rather than ask for an evidentiary hearing, we would ask the court, and I think it's in the sentencing hearing transcript, and I think it was my words, I said, in the nature of summary judgment, akin to summary judgment, assuming these facts are true, assuming the facts as set forth in the PSR are true, this is with respect to the handgun and with respect to manager supervisor, are those facts legally sufficient for the court to make the finding for the enhancements? And that's what we asked Chief Judge Crabb to find, and that's what we submit to this court.
That's the classic trying to have it both ways that we see all the time in this situation.
Well, and perhaps that's the the problem with the guidelines with respect to due process, which is perhaps an inherent argument in our appeal, that a defendant is forced into the situation because of the nature of the way the guidelines determination is made, that he or she must simply argue the facts, which I think is inconsistent with everything we know about Anglo-Saxon jurisprudence, where generally the government has the burden of presenting those facts, as opposed to the defendant having to ask that the facts be challenged. Mr. Rodriguez had entered into this plea prior to the time that we represented him. He was faced with this difficult issue. We believed it was important for the court to evaluate, and we still believe it's important for the court to evaluate these issues as a legal matter, and that way preserve the challenge. And we think if this court looks at the facts as a legal matter, the court will find that there, for example, with respect to the firearm under U.S. against Payne, there's absolutely no temporal or spatial relationship between the weapon, the drug trafficking activity, and the defendant.
How is that a legal issue?
Well, I think it's a legal issue because I think the court has to apply the legal standard for applying the enhancement under the guidelines to the facts as set forth in the PSR.
That doesn't make it a legal issue. You weren't asking for a particular legal interpretation. You were arguing that the facts are insufficient to meet the legal standard.
That's the legal
issue.
That's
not a legal question.
That, in our view, was the legal issue, that we were saying that those facts were insufficient as a matter of law. In addition, we said the same with respect to manager and supervisor. Most importantly, we also believe that the Judge Crabb made absolutely no finding with respect to the drug quantities. Now, the government argues that Judge Crabb incorporated the PSR findings, but the PSR findings, if the court can review those, are simply a probation officer's analysis of statements that were made in various proffers, grand jury testimony, witness statements, and then giving the foot of equity in deciding, we think it's this percentage of drugs, we think he was responsible for this many ounces on this date.
But I don't understand you. I'm probably just repeating Judge Sykes' and Judge Coffey's questions, but if he didn't challenge the findings in the PSR, what difference, what are you saying now about the inadequacy of the PSR procedures?
I think that it's important, particularly, as I said, in the post-Booker environment, particularly where...
But counsel, he didn't challenge the PSR. He admitted all the facts in the PSR, which gave the quantity.
He admitted...
This is the first time you're raising.
Now, he admitted...
Aren't you raising it for the first time?
Well, no, not exactly.
Raise something on appeal that you haven't raised in the lower court?
Obviously not, unless it's of constitutional magnitude, Your Honor. But what he admitted, what we agreed to at the sentencing hearing, was that assuming those facts were true as stated in the PSR. The facts as stated in the PSR are various witness statements, paragraph by paragraph.
We understand all that.
That are gleaned. And from that, the PSR then extrapolates with a table that they then attribute to Mr. Rodriguez. We think the judge, the sentencing judge, has an independent...
You want to withdraw your guilty plea?
We consider that. We have not done that. Not at this time.
You can't both accept the findings in the PSR and challenge them.
Well, I think what we can do is we can ask Chief Judge Crabb to make a determination independently from her probation services officer.
Not once you stipulate to it.
Well, I think it's important because otherwise we don't know what is appropriately being attributed to this defendant, particularly in a...
You should have challenged the PSR.
Whose fault is that?
That forces the defendant...
Whose fault is it that you don't know because you didn't challenge it before?
Well, whose fault is it? I don't think it's anyone's fault. I think there was a determination made...
That the defendant
would face, Your Honor, the loss of acceptance of responsibility. But I think there's still an independent duty, and I think that persists when we have guideline sentencing as a mechanism. There's an independent duty, and the case law says from the circuit.
You don't sacrifice an acceptance of responsibility argument by contesting findings in the PSR.
I believe that's the case, and I think that was made clear. I think that was made clear below that that's what would happen, and I think that's what the defendant faced, that the government would not recommend acceptance of responsibility. So I think it's still nevertheless important. I see my time is up.
You accept responsibility by pleading guilty and admitting the charges in the indictment.
And
that's how you admit. That's how you accept responsibility.
And when you do that in a conspiracy,
the PSR talks about relevant conduct and so on and so forth.
Judge, and when you do that in a conspiracy case, you have no idea what the relevant conduct is. And that's the situation Mr. Rodriguez was in. And I think that's why the sentencing judge still has an independent duty to evaluate what the PSR presents to her as relevant conduct in a conspiracy under both foreseeability.
How do you know that she didn't evaluate?
Because we have nothing in the record.
Did you ask for it?
We didn't ask for it specifically, but I think it's still the duty of the sentencing judge under 3553,
Judge.
You're
trying to get three kicks at the cat, not one.
No, we just want the sentencing judge to tell us what the basis was for that sentence in terms of drug quantity.
You could have asked it at that time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Goins. Mr. Reinhardt?
Good morning. David Reinhardt for the United States. Your Honors, first of all, any challenges to the reliability of the witnesses or of the facts is waived. And this defendant specifically agreed to those facts in the PSR. He made no factual challenges before the district court. And specifically in the sentencing transcript, the court asked the question, so I can take every statement.
Is Mr. Goins correct that he could have jeopardized his acceptance of responsibility discount by challenging findings in the PSR?
I think he could if there's a frivolous denial of relevant conduct. If he makes one challenge, maybe not, but if he challenges everything and it turns out not to be true, I think he would jeopardize his acceptance of responsibility.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen such a case.
That's discretionary in the district court?
That's correct. That is the discretion of the district court. If the district court feels that the defendant in a case has frivolously denied relevant conduct. Your Honors, as far as his legal challenges, the district court didn't commit clear error when it enhanced his sentence two levels for possession of a dangerous weapon. Once again, these facts are uncontested, and when you look at the uncontested facts in regards to that particular enhancement, you have two co-conspirators indicating that the defendant traded drugs for guns. You have another witness indicating that the defendant was present when meth and guns were unloaded from a vehicle. And you also have yet another witness indicating that the defendant always had a gun with him throughout this conspiracy. Looking at the next enhancement, the district court didn't commit clear error when it increased the defendant's advisory guideline range three levels for the role in the offense. Again, the facts are uncontested in regards to this particular enhancement and the facts supporting this enhancement. The defendant had people enforcing drug debts owed. The defendant had people distributing drugs for him, and the defendant had people collecting drugs for him. And there was no, it's undisputed that the criminal activity involved five or more people. As far as the drug quantity, once again, it was never challenged before the district court. The district court, defendant is now arguing on appeal that it isn't correct, but it never gave the district court the opportunity to, in fact, evaluate a particular challenge. So, Your Honors, based on the briefs and the arguments submitted today, we would ask this court to affirm the district court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reinhardt. Thank you to Mr. Goins.